Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another Arkaneas Sunday Sermon. I hope everybody's doing okay today. Hope you're having a great weekend. And again, welcome if this is your first time here at Arkaneas Sunday Sermon. Each week, an inspirational sermon based on the Jedi Path is going to be brought to you by a real-life ordained Jedi priest or minister. Today, I'm your host and officiant, Master Alan Wilson, Jedi priest and Grand Master of Arkaneas Jedi Order. Now, each of these sermons is going to be centered around the fictional Jedi, the Star Wars mythos, and the Jedi realist path as it applies in today's world. You know, we talk over and over, anybody out there can call themselves a Jedi. As long as you're attempting to live your life by the Jedi philosophy, you can call yourself a Jedi. Now, when calling yourself a Jedi Knight or a Jedi Master, that's a little different, because what you're telling people in the community is that you are experienced, you've trained somewhere diligently, and you meet all the aspects of the philosophy or, in some cases, the religious following, and you're ready to teach somebody else. So that's important, and at Arkaneas, we take that very seriously. So I want you to join me today as I fulfill my duties as an ordained Jedi priest and deliver you a motivational sermon dedicated on the Jedi path. Now, if you enjoyed today's sermon, please be sure to share it on social networking groups, share it on your homepage, let people know about us, and please follow us here at Blog Talk Radio to get all the up-to-date episode information and showtimes. Check out some of our other shows, such as Jedi Templar Reflections and War Beauty Wednesdays. If you like the episodes and you find going to Blog Talk Radio a little difficult for listening, check out an app such as Player FM. For me, it makes listening a little easier. It allows me to run the episodes in the background while I'm doing other things, such as being on Facebook or searching the internet or whatever. As long as you're not using the audio, it'll continue to run in the background. Also, if you're interested in Jedi realism and want to learn more about the path, check out Arkaneas Jedi Academy on Facebook. You can also check out Jedi on Facebook. And there's a lot of information in there. There's a lot of experienced Jedi in those groups. There's also a lot of new Jedi in those groups. So check them out if you're interested. Today, our Sunday sermon is still following the Eightfold Path, Transforming the Dark Side. Today, we're going to go into right mindfulness. Now, before we get started, I'd like to thank Jedi Realist Radio, Arkaneas Jedi Order, and Blog Talk Radio for hosting this episode and for giving me the opportunity to speak to you and bring you these sermons. Now, we start off each sermon with a quote, usually from the fiction. The quote for this series is, "Your focus determines your reality." Now, what do we mean by "your focus determines your reality"? I've talked about this over and over and over again. In the Jedi community, we understand that perception plays just as big a role in things as, say, the facts and the truth. Because what we perceive to be, we will attempt to find the facts and the truth that backs up our position. And so, a great example, if you believe your better half is cheating on you, then you will start looking for the symptoms that that individual is actually cheating. And that person may not be. But if you believe it, if you're focused on them cheating on you, you will find the reasons that prove that they're cheating, whether they're real or not. And so that's why we say your focus determines your reality. And that's part of what today's sermon is about, right? Mindfulness is keeping in that right frame of mind so that you don't make that mistake. So, right mindfulness refers to the practice of non-judgmental attention that doesn't label or conceptualize. Qui-Gon instructed Anakin to watch me and be mindful. Mindfulness is sometimes called appropriate attention. Buddhist practice is to find ways to bring appropriate attention to everything. It's called a practice because our attention usually wanders away from what we are doing in the moment, and so we must practice bringing it back. Right concentration is single-pointed action. When we do something with right concentration, the notion of self falls away, and we become one with the action. In The Empire Strikes Back, Yoda screams, "Concentrate!" when Luke wobbles out of a handstand, kicking the ancient Jedi Master to the ground. Luke was troubled by visions. His concentration was not single-pointed, and so his action was unfocused also. The moment the notion of self intrudes, concentration wobbles and trouble follows. Throughout these sermons, we have seen how important mindfulness and concentration are to the Jedi and even to the Buddhist practice. Now, why do we center on the Buddhist practice so much? Well, because that's part of where George Lucas got his influence for Jedi. When it comes to their philosophy or their spiritual being, a lot of the teachings of the Jedi did focus around Buddhist teaching. So the third type of practice one undertakes on the path are practices of wisdom. Wisdom is the aspect of ourselves that is developed through profound investigation into life. Two parts of wisdom are right view and right thought. Right view means seeing things as they are, beyond the conceptual. A Jedi youngling might be surprised when she sees Mace Windu's purple lightsaber. Jedi sabers are usually blue or green. He or she might ask, "What color is that?" With right view, Mace would say, "It is the color you see. Purple is only a concept." Right view gives rise to a mind free from the shroud of the dark side. Right view should change the way we look upon the world, as divided and separate. So we see it as it truly is, interdependent and interpenetrated, unified through Obi-Wan's symbiont circle. The dualistic view of self and other, birth and death, Ewok and tree, are not the right view or other. Right view is the direct realization of interdependence. Right view is not belief. When we read about the Four Noble Truths, independence and nirvana, we gain an understanding of them. That intellectual framework helps us move forward. But the understanding that we get from teachings, books, or even the dialogue in a movie is just a conceptual understanding. This type of understanding becomes our ground for insight into things as they truly are. But when we see things as they really are, we no longer see them through the veil of concepts. Right view is actually an absence of views. It is understanding beyond perception, perspective, and belief. Thought is the forerunner of all action. The second factor of wisdom is right thought. What we think initiates what we do and say. The focus of our thoughts directs our deeds. If one's thoughts are kind and serene, right action will follow, and so will happiness, as surely and as closely as one's shadow. Right thought is thought that releases dark side energies when they arise in the mind and channel the mind in the direction of the good side of the force, the place where loving kindness and compassion are dominant. Right thought is the fostering of selflessness and love for all beings in our mind. In The Phantom Menace, Obi-Wan Kenobi refers to Jar Jar Binks and Anakin Skywalker as pathetic life forms because they continually get in the way of what Obi-Wan thinks is the best thing to do. This is not right thought. Thinking of other people or things as obstacles in our life creates division and conflict. Right thought does not exclude. It is inclusive, concerned for the well-being of all life forms. This does not mean we have to like everyone we come in contact with. But if we are trapped in the idea that they are nothing more than a bother or a representation of what we find contemptible, then we are not recognizing their true nature. It is important to keep our hearts open and observe people and phenomena deeply before we pass any kind of judgment. We must reflect, as Yoda had instructed, and ask ourselves, am I sure this person is the way I think he or she is? Am I attached to views and wrong perceptions that are making me narrow-minded and unable to see the truth about this person? Are my opinions rooted in fear and insecurity or prejudice and ignorance? These type of questions help us to be mindful and to transform the shroud of the dark side. Now, when we talk about social media, I see this a lot on Facebook because we see somebody's comments a few times, you know, or we interact with them a few times on social media, but we don't actually know them. We've never been around them in person. We've never picked up the phone and called them and heard what's in their voices or met them face to face and see their facial expressions and their body language. And so we tend to form these opinions of who we think these people are by what they write in black and white words in a text, in a Facebook post, or in a messenger. And we can't. I don't care if you capitalize all the letters. I don't care if your punctuation is perfect. You still don't get the true intent of that individual until you meet them face to face, till you spend some genuine time with them. This is the right mindfulness, is you see somebody, and maybe they take a hard stance on a lot of things on social media. Are they truly taking a hard stance? Is that truly what they believe? Or are they trying to maybe spark conversation? A lot of that goes unnoticed in social media. Because if we're sitting face to face, we can hear the emotion in somebody's voice. We can read their body language. We can see their facial expressions. And then we can actually get a closer perception of who that individual actually is. Even then, even face to face, we truly don't know what's going on inside somebody's mind and heart. And so the further away we get from personal one-on-one action with one another, the more impersonal our speech becomes, the more impersonal our perception becomes, and the more likely we are to misjudge somebody. So think about the next time you're on Facebook. You know, and we use the term troll regularly on Facebook, but some of them are out there just to cause trouble. The thing that differentiates a troll from somebody in wanting a good debate or wanting to discuss all sides of a discussion is a troll is never going to give you any kind of debate. They're always going to result in personal attacks. They're always going to result into degrading you. They're never, a true troll is never going to take on a conversation. They're never going to tell you their side of the story, and they're never going to accept your side. Only when we open up to one another, only when we're willing to listen to both sides, willing to get rid of our perceptions, and truly practice right mindfulness and right concentration, only then will we have true dialogue. Only then can we come to true solutions to our problems. If you're paying attention to the news lately, we see it all over the news media. Most of these protests, which have turned into riots and looting, a lot of it comes down to just that. We only want to hear our own narrative. We only want to push our own agenda. We don't want to hear what somebody else has to say. We don't even want to try to understand their perspective or where they're coming from. It's just like the Black Lives Matter and All Lives Matter perceptions going on. You know, one side perceives, if somebody says Black Lives Matter, that they're perceiving that only Black Lives Matter. And the other side perceives that when you say All Lives Matter, that you're degrading that the black lives and that black lives don't matter at all. And the truth could be farther away from what we're perceiving. Because I know a lot of people, when they say all lives matter, that's literally what they mean. All lives matter. Equality. You know, there was a Facebook post a while back. It said, save the whales does not mean F the fish. Well, they were using that and saying that the next time you hear somebody say Black Lives Matter, don't get offended. But that's an improper statement, because save the whales means just that. Save all the whales, not just the blue whales or not just the killer whales, but save all the whales, save the whales. And so it's a bad example to use when referring to the All Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter perceptions going on. So this has been another Arkaneia Sunday sermon. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. We've been brought to you by Jedi Realist Radio, Arkaneia Jedi Order, and Blog Talk Radio. And once again, thank you for those groups for hosting Arkaneia Sunday sermons. If you enjoyed this sermon, please remember to like it, follow us, share it on social media, share it on your homepage. Download an app like Player FM to listen to it, make it your listening a little easier. And with that, until next Sunday sermon, may the Force be with you. We'll now go to discussions. Master Hannigan, how are you doing today?
Good Lord, I thought you were ending the episode. I am well.
No, we always end the sermon and then go to discussion.
Living a dream one day at a time. Life is pretty good. How are things going out there in Misery?
It's Misery. They're going pretty decent, though. Can't complain a whole lot. Things are pretty quiet except in the big cities. And I'm hearing that we're still having problems in St. Louis, but I'm not seeing anything on the news media about it. And I know that the disturbance over in Kansas City has pretty much been quelled, from what I understand. But other than that, I mean, where I live in Podunk, Missouri, is pretty quiet, stays pretty quiet. These radical groups are threatening to come into the rural areas. I've seen where they've made one or two attempts. It didn't go very well for them. But other than that, we're doing pretty good.
Right mindfulness, huh? This is actually something within our community we're actually losing the battle to more and more. I've seen a lot of people, the concepts that we want to build a better community. It's a great concept. A concept that many of us are going to be like, hell yeah, let's do that. Let's build a greater community. But unfortunately, the motivation behind it is, I want to build this great community that's going to benefit me and mine. That's going to benefit my cool kid sandbox. And if you want to be a part of this greater community, then you have to be part of our cool kid sandbox and you have to be accepted by us. Otherwise, you'll never be a part of it. So are they saying, let's build a better community? Or are they actually saying, you know, their mindset is not actually building a greater community. It's looking cool or important to the community.
I could definitely agree with that, because if you're actually looking at what a Jedi should be, if we're going to put being a Jedi realist into, say, modern politics, a true Jedi would be more of a libertarian than they would be a left wing or a right wing. Because a Jedi should be looking at both sides and understanding both sides before they make a decision. Well, would you agree or disagree with that?
Oh, well, considering I am a libertarian, sure, why not? a centrist, or, you know what I've noticed, before I'm actually going to go on a quick rant. I am very center, very right-leaning. Okay, I'm not to the right, but I am in the center enough where, you know what, I can agree with the left on here, I can agree with the right there, but I agree with the right a little bit more. You know, that's where I am on the political spectrum. God knows cancel culture is going to strike. But when I see people within our community taking such – oh, sorry, that's what I was going to say. Apologies. Due to the far left, what's actually happening is everything's getting pushed over to the right in a sense. Like, for those who were once moderate Democrats, they're actually being pushed to the center. the libertarians and, you know, the center people are getting pushed to the right, and the traditional Republicans are all being pushed to the far right, and the far right, hell, they're their own thing. They're completely whatever as well. And the crazier part is when we see this within our community, and we see people taking such harsh stances. Like, I hate wearing a mask. I totally despise it, and I think it's funny. But when I go to the gas station, I put my mask on out of respect. When I go to restaurants, I put my mask on from the front door till I get to my table, and then I can take my mask off, which I think is kind of stupid. But you know what? That's the rules, and I'm following it. When I go to the grocery store, I wear my mask, you know, same thing. But the crazy part, when I get to the gym, I put my mask on before I walk through the door. Actually, on my way, you know, like within 10 feet of the door, to be honest about it. I check in, depending on which gym I go to. In one of the gyms, I have to walk 10 feet before I can take my mask off. In the other, it's like 30 feet. And then my mask goes off, which I find funny as hell, because can't go shopping without a mask, but I can go to the gym and not wear one. Now, there's the big argument. You see, that for, you know, the health clubs that are open, you know, I know some states, they're still closed, and I feel really bad for those people. But everybody says coronavirus is, you know, the gyms are a big hotspot for coronavirus, yada, yada, yada. Dude, I am more worried about catching staph infection at the gym than I am the coronavirus. Just facts. You know, everybody thinks of gyms, and they think of these old, like, 80s fungus traps, way to put it. You know, when you go to gyms nowadays, you wipe off your machine, device, whatever the hell, you know, be it a machine, a bench, the free weights, whatever the hell you're using, you know, for your pre-routine. You know, you wipe that off before you use it, you wipe it off after you use it. That is gym courtesy. That is so we don't get infection, so we don't get staph infection. Again, like I said, I'm more worried about staph infection than coronavirus. So people are making a big ordeal, like people who don't go to the gym and don't understand gym culture, that, you know, well, at least they're starting to wipe down machines now. They didn't do that before. The hell we didn't. Shit, you know what? You can talk to your significant other. And actually, I think you can talk to yourself on this one. When I took you to the gym, you know, a couple years ago, I don't think it was last year. I think it was two years ago when you went with me. Did I not have you wipe down the machines when you were done with them, at least?
You know, I was going to say, because back, you know, when I was young and I did Taekwondo, and when I was in the military and we went to the gym regularly, man, they stunk. Back in the 80s, man, gym stunk. I mean, it's where the whole smells like a locker room came from.
Right.
You know, they did, man. They stunk to high heaven. Where when I went to the gym with you, man, one, I saw a huge difference where back in the 80s, gym equipment was all packed tight together. I mean, I could be on one machine and reach over and reset the weights on the guy's next to me machine if he asked me to. Where now, the equipment, I mean, when I went to the gym with you, most of those machines were a good 10 foot apart at a minimum. I mean, that's the machine itself, not where you're sitting. The machines were at least 10 foot apart, if not more. And like you said, right, I mean, there was hand sanitizer everywhere. There were signs reminding you to wipe down the equipment when you were done. And like you said, you know, you made it a point. Hey, don't forget to wipe down the equipment. And you know, it's when I'm looking at this virus, you know, I can see both sides of the fence here. It's a real virus. I mean, I know people that have gotten sick from it. I know people that it hit pretty hard. But at the same time, I do believe that it's being politically twisted, seriously. Because we can look, not just in our own country, but like you hear, like they want to compare the United States to Germany. Okay, you can't do that. The state of Missouri alone has 500,000 more residents than the whole country of Germany. Our state has more residents than the whole country of Germany. And so if you're going to compare the United States, say, to Europe, then you need to take all the European countries. You know, you need to take Germany and the UK and Italy and Spain and France, and you need to get those numbers so that their, you know, residency equates to the same number that live in the United States. And then, even then, we still have way more land mass than all of Europe. I mean, we have almost the same land mass in the United States as most of the Asian continent, or like half the Asian continent. And just look at in our country. I mean, New York, they were the bad guys in the beginning. And now all of a sudden New York is the shining example, and Florida's the bad state. But when you look at the numbers, though, New York lost 33,000 people died. Florida still hasn't hit 2,000 people died. So how can Florida now be the new bad guy when they've lost just a fraction of what all of New York lost just in, like, the first few months? And then look at a state like South Dakota. South Dakota said, muck of the virus. It's a virus. We're going to get sick. People are going to die. We're not changing our lives drastically because of it. And South Dakota, if you're listening to the statistics, South Dakota is faring way better than most of the other states. Now, granted, South Dakota is mostly a rural state. They've only got two real cities in the whole state. But that's why one pattern doesn't fit everybody. You know, if you live in a metropolis and you live armpit to armpit with everybody else, well, then guess what? Maybe you do need to social distance. Maybe you do need to wear a mask all the time. But when you live out here like where I live, I mean, my closest neighbor, their house is over an acre away from me. Why do we need to be wearing masks outside? Yet they're trying, St. Louis County is trying to force Jefferson County into a mandatory mask mandate. And it's like, why? We have had literally a handful of cases and only a couple of deaths in our whole county throughout this whole thing.
Actually, you know what? Being fair, you know, since I do know where you live, there are some places around, okay, like your little Kovasaw country bumpkin area, and I used to love calling it that because it's so country, so quiet, so peaceful. But, you know, how many trailer parks? Now, if you're in a trailer park, say it's an apartment complex, I understand. I will completely support the whole mask concept because, you know, trailer parks, again, I'm using trailer parks because it fits well for your area. And if they want to make people wear masks at the trailer parks, I'm actually going to very much understand. Just because how, you know, shit, your property is the size of, like, one of the trailer parks out there. And there's, like, you know, 40, 50 trailers on the size of your property. Now, I got very fortunate, Thursday, hosted a meeting at my house. We had just over 50 people at the house. We have a driveway that could fit 8 cars, so we had 20 cars in my front yard. Actually, you know what? Here, we'll compare yard sizes real quick. My yard, like how your yard is a lot longer than it is wide.
Right.
Like from the street to the road. All right, mine's flipped. Mine's a lot wider than it is long. Again, I think we had 20. It may have been 20 cars. I could be wrong, but I think we had 20 cars in my front yard. We had 4 cars stashed in my backyard. It was a friggin' parking catastrophe. But, you know, thankfully in Wichita, we didn't have to wear masks. And even if we would have, and I'm sitting there during the entire meeting, I was actually waiting for the deputy, Central County deputies, to show up at my house. I was waiting for somebody to call the cops and turn us in because we have this really large crowd and nobody social distancing, nobody wearing masks, yada, yada, yada. But for me, the purpose of that meeting was a hell of a lot more important than the political motivation behind the whole mask concept and whatnot. But now that we had the coronavirus rant out of the way, the mindfulness of our community is something that we really need to pay attention to. We need to pay attention to different groups and what their motivations are. You know, like I said earlier, you know, some people just want to be part of that cool kid sandbox. Hey, this is the biggest organization. This is the biggest Facebook group. So they obviously have it going on. You know, and I'm not going to name any Facebook groups. I mean, shit, actually, yeah, I will. Jedi. I think Jedi right now has, what, a ridiculous number of people, which seems pretty cool. But how many people are active? Are the groups that have 15,000 people? You know what? Okay, that looks really cool. It looks like a happening spot, yada, yada, yada. But when you go into the group and you only see 10 people posting, you know, what good is the 15,000 people group count if only 10 people are posting? Now let's look at other groups that we want to be the big player in the game. We want people to respect us. We want people to see what we've done. But when you look at those people as individuals, how many of them are actually practicing what they preach? We talk about, as Jedi Realists, you know, physical conditioning is actually important. Is the group, does the group represent that? You know, are people relatively physically fit? Yeah, with Corona, you could say some people let themselves go. I don't necessarily agree with the argument, but hell, I'll support it. It's fine. But, you know, if your group is a lot of people who are not into physical fitness, then you can't preach physical fitness. If you look at, you know, individuals in the group who cannot defend themselves, either physically or mentally, and this is actually important. I turned the second part in for a reason. You know, if a Jedi cannot protect themselves or others, what good are they? On a physical level, you know, again, I'm one of the advocates that a person should earn a black belt in a traditional martial arts style. And I don't care what style it is. And it's not about the cool black belt. It's about that 3 to 5 years it takes for traditional martial artists to get to a black belt in both styles. Some styles are going to say they're different. It's 5 to 7 years, yada, yada, yada. I'm just going with averages here, so bear with me. And it's about, you know, that 3 to 5 years, that dedication of going to class, the dedication of practice, what you learn about yourself, you know, how you push past the things that you once thought were impossible. That's the shit you learn at traditional martial arts school that transcends into our Jedi Realist path. Now, the next one to talk about is, you know, being able to defend yourself mentally. It's a big thing within our community and something that we've completely lost. I'm going to go and argue with Alan about a tradition, about something I think is important. I don't care what it is. It could be about a Jedi value. It could be about politics, whatever. But instead of Alan, you know, having a discussion with me, Alan's going to run to that group administrator and say, hey, Hannigan's being mean. He's bullying me. Bro, if you cannot defend yourself from a question, if you do not have the mental and emotional maturity to stand up on your own 2 feet and you call yourself a Jedi Master, bad does that make our community look, that instead of dealing with me, you have to run to somebody else because you can't deal with the situation? And it's
I mean, that's kind of what we were talking about. You know, it's funny. These people on social media get so upset at what somebody else says. Just don't talk to them. Don't comment. Just don't read whatever they wrote. You know, just back away. And yet we can't. We've got to go cry to somebody else. Oh, my God, he hurt my feelings. Why did it hurt your feelings?
There's a Jedi that the hilarious concept. You know, I mentioned that every day I think they wake up and they're professionally offended. And, oh, they whined and cried about how I was being so mean to them, and they're this great Jedi, and nobody should be mean to them. And the same individual was talking about shooting cops with BB guns in a protest.
Right. But
and you know who I'm talking about. I'm not going to list the name or gender or anything. You know that person I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah. See, now, I view the Jedi community more like the fiction if you paid attention or if you read the novels. You know, to me, the ones that offend me the most when they get all upset are the ones that are calling themselves Jedi Knights or Jedi Masters. Because in the fiction, you had the Jedi Corps. And we forget that the Jedi Knights that we were so fond of in the movies, those were the military arm of the Jedi Order. Those weren't your everyday Jedi. And I've used this as an example. If anybody goes back, especially go back and watch the prequels, you know, in the original trilogy, we only had the last of the handful. But when we go back and watch the prequels and watch the scenes of the Jedi Temple, okay, we know, if we paid attention, that only Jedi are allowed in the temple. Yet, not everybody in that temple is wearing the traditional Jedi robes as we see them. And a great example of a Jedi master that was never a knight, was never into combat, was Jocasta Nu. She was a librarian. She was an archive keeper. She was not a fighter. And if you read her backstory, she never was. She's also slightly overweight when you see her in the movie. She's not a very in-fit older lady. She's a typical grandma looker. Right, she's a typical grandma looker. Okay, and we forget that Mace Windu and Yoda and Luke and Anakin and Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon, those were all knights and masters of the military arm of the Jedi Order. Those were soldiers in the Jedi Order. Not everybody's cut out to be a soldier. And that's what I don't think they understand, you know, when they say, I'm going to be a Jedi Knight. Well, you would never join the military, so why would you want to be a Jedi Knight? You would never be a police officer. Why would you want to be a Jedi Knight? You don't ever want to fight. Why would you want to be a Jedi Knight? You know, and I think that's an issue. That's an area in the community that's not discussed enough, is that not everybody is going to become a Jedi Knight. And that's why it's hard to become a Jedi Knight, is because a Jedi Knight should be physically fit. They should know some type of self-defense. They should be strong enough to defend not only themselves, but others. But as for just the basic Jedi, those that follow the philosophy or the path, there's no need for them to have a dedicated workout regimen. I mean, they would be the Jedi Corps in the fiction. They would be the agriculturalists. They would be the nurses and medics, the farmers, the tool makers and the such. And we lose that in the Jedi realist community. That not everybody has to be a Jedi Knight. You know, but everybody calls themselves Jedi Knight, and yet then they get offended by a Facebook comment or a Facebook post. Now, I won't say that I've never gotten offended by somebody on Facebook, but I get offended when they come at my family. You know, when you start coming at my wife or kids, that's a different story. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to defend them. You come at one of my initiates or Padawans, I'm supposed to defend them. And when you start dragging people that aren't even in the Jedi community into it, you know, I literally had somebody just a couple weeks ago that knows my younger brother. Well, how dare you call yourself a Jedi Master? Look at how your little brother behaves. What's my little brother got to do with this? You know, he's not even a Jedi. He actually thinks that I'm a nutcase for following the Jedi path. Why are you going to drag him into this? What's he got to do with me? And we see that a lot of the times, too. Or we see, well, you don't believe the way I believe, so you're not a Jedi. So Jedi weren't allowed to be individuals?
I love, not long ago, I posted on somebody's Facebook. It was a big, crazy leftist concept. Like, literally, an insane concept. And I posted something about, you like, hey, you know what, I was, about to defund the police, or not defund the police, but dismantle the police. And I was like, you know, the problem with dismantling the police is, let's say you have your area, your little cul-de-sac, okay? There's, what, like nine places, something like that, on your little stretch of road?
Not more than that, but yeah, it's pretty small.
All right. Your area now becomes a militant area, in a sense. Because if the police cannot go to the outside of town, which you can give me the argument that we've had before on that stretch of road, but, you know, the police can no longer go on that stretch of road. They cannot handle any crime. They're not going to do anything. There's no police there anymore. You now put yourself in your own form of martial law. Whoever has the biggest guns, and the most people on their side, they are now the law. And that's a very dangerous situation. You're taking, you know, gangbang, street thugs, whatever, and you're making them the law. That's what happened. It wasn't defunding the police. I apologize. It was the CHOP, the Freed Occupied Zone of Portland, whatever the hell CHOP stood for. And I was like, you know, this is a really dangerous concept because there is no law, meaning I can murder you right now and there are no consequences. This is a dangerous way to go. Our society will not last long like that. We will seriously kill ourselves from within. You know, forget China, Russia, North Korea, whatever, taking over the United States. These areas, China, Russia, North Korea, hell, even Canada could take us over at that point because there would be no unity. There's nothing to keep our society together. And I was posting about that, and they were so upset that they had to go to my profile and look at, you know, Jedi Realist Radio, yada, yada, yada. Oh, you're a Jedi, and you say this? How can you call yourself a Jedi? Like, dude, who the fuck are you? Sorry, forgot this is your show, not mine. You know, like, who the hell are you to be like, oh, that's not a Jedi concept? Okay, Jedi respect the law. Jedi sow for peace. You know, are there situations where there are cops who abuse their authority? Absolutely. I mean, nobody's that stupid to say it doesn't happen. But does that really small percentage outweigh the usefulness of the large percent? You know, let's say 5% of the police force is dirty. All right, that's a problem. I'm going to agree with you. We need to figure out how to fix the problem. Is it because the unions that these cops are in are protecting them? You know what? Hell, if that's the problem, I will fight that battle with you. I will sit here with you and fight that battle. I'll join that protest, but I won't join in the violence. Instead of actually walking out for the protest itself, I will go to City Hall with you and I'll say, hey, these are the problems that we're facing. How can we do this? And thankfully here in Wichita, both our city cops and our Cedric County deputies have that open dialogue with our people. But again, that 5% of the problem, does that override the 95% that are doing their job and helping to keep our society running? COVID is a great example of a society deteriorating. We have a lot of things going on people aren't really looking at. We have this huge economical decline. And, you know, how many millions of people lost their jobs and haven't been back to work yet? You know, thankfully here in Wichita, we are very fortunate. Most of our people who want jobs are back to work. I think maybe one or two of our factories are closed. But, again, a majority of our people are working, our society is functioning. Now go to New York, they're still in lockdown, they can't go to church. 30,000 people have left the city because of COVID shutdown as well as riots and violence?
Yes.
Why is it Wichita can maintain and we don't have protests, or we don't have riots, our society is still functioning, but larger cities are not? That's another thing to look at. You know, we look at national averages. You know, I'll be truthful about Wichita. You know, our murder rate is actually pretty damn significant right now. I know we've had 3 people murdered in the last week. And Wichita is a really large, small town. Very large, small town. But overall, our society's still going. You know, we're not running to defund the police because we acknowledge our murder rate's climbing. Our violent crime rate has gone up a little bit because people are bored and people are fighting. You know, we want our police out there where they need to be because that's the only way to keep our society rolling. Now,
right.
These larger cities, Portland's a great example. If I was a Portland police, if I was Portland PD, to be honest, I would walk off the job. They're going to dismantle you anyway. You know,
right.
And they are, what, day 76 of riots? Now that the people have left the courthouse alone, but they're going into neighborhoods and creating disturbances. I mean, this is a huge problem. You know, this is dismantling our country. Now, let's also look at things that are dismantling us. I'm going to go to the community, our other community. You know the biggest thing, in my opinion, that's crippled our community? The Jedi Rose community.
I would say politics.
Politics, yes. And distrust is, you know, people want to be part of the cool kid group. You know, nobody wants to work their ass off and earn it. They want to be on Facebook and be seen as this person and this high and mighty, holier than now. I mean, if you were to talk about me, it's swolier than now, but, you know, whatever. They want to be seen as this. Nobody wants to go to the gym and sweat. Nobody wants to go to a martial arts school and be that newbie and get their ass kicked. I mean, shit, you watched me go to that judo class and I got my ass handed to me. And if you remember when I got back to the house, you're like, how did it go? I was like, dude, I got my ass handed to me. It was awesome. You know, like,
right.
I loved being that newbie and getting thrown around like no tomorrow. So I'm like, holy shit, there's so much for me to learn here. But, you know, and read a book. Hell, listen to an audiobook. I ain't got time for that. Like, bro, you can talk on Facebook for 3 hours, but you don't got time to read a book? You don't got time to listen to an audiobook? You know, nobody wants to put the work in. They just want to be perceived as being cool, being perceived as being a Jedi. Good is it if we call our Jedi Knights or Masters and they never put in work? You know, this isn't a path about sitting on your ass. It's not a do what you want and call yourself a Jedi. And bloody hell, I have not used that expression in quite a while. It feels good to say it again. You know, it's not what we're about. We are about being effective for our community. Right now, am I doing a lot for the quote-unquote Jedi community? Am I doing a lot for Arcanea? My honest answer is no. And I'm going to be truthful about it. I haven't done podcasts lately. I haven't been active on our Facebook groups at all. You know, I've been doing me for like the last year. And what am I doing in my life? Let's talk about that for a minute. I have kept my job. Thankfully, my income level is really great. I work with recovering addicts. That's what I'm doing with my time. You know, bloody hell, you've seen my life. You see me just when I went to work and went to the gym. I left early in the morning and got home late at night. You've seen that with your own eyes. For how many?
Right.
Actually, I don't think you believe me, and I don't think Cracker Jack believes me either, that I'm not home. I don't spend much time. I don't watch TV. Nobody believed that concept until they lived at me like, holy shit, dude, you don't watch TV. Like, no, I'm not just saying that on Facebook to look cool. That's literally my life. Now, think back to my life when I worked just for Jiffy Lube. I went to work. I went to the gym. Let's say what? I left around 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, give or take a little bit. I got home at 9 o'clock at night, sometimes a little bit later. Sound about right,
right.
to you?
Yeah, about right.
Right. Now, I leave my house around 6 in the morning. I get home around midnight. I'm literally not home. I'm doing my job, which we're not going to talk about, you know, on air, but you acknowledge, I've talked to you about it. You know, I have my job. I go to the gym. I do not go to Taekwondo classes at this point for a couple of reasons. One, I still have some practice sessions with a couple friends, which I'm good with. Two, our schools are barely open, and they have limited class sizes. And my theory, people are going to disagree with me on it, which is fine, is I've been away from my Taekwondo school for years. You know, I've been gone, I left in 2017, I think, is when I did my initial journey out.
Right.
I've been gone for a year. So I believe the students who have been here, who have been on their grind, deserve those limited class spots. It would be selfish of me to come in and take those class spots from them when they've been here on their grind doing their thing. So it's a, you know, people might disagree with me on it. Like, hey, you know, if you really want to go, sign up for the classes, and as long as you're like one of the first X number of signups, then it is what it is. Like, no, these people deserve classes more than me because they've been on their grind. They've been supporting school more than I have, yada, yada, yada. I'm looking forward to when we finally open up class sizes and getting back to classes. But in any event, I'm going to the gym, be at the YMCA or Planet Fitness, depends on the day, or depends on what I'm doing. Like, I can go to the YMCA, I can use the gymnasium, I can work on my Taekwondo forms, yada, yada, yada. I'm still doing my practices, I'm still doing my strength training, I'm still doing my job. And I'm going to a couple of recovery meetings today and working with people who are dealing with active addiction. And for those who don't understand, active addiction, people who are dealing with that right now, there's been more deaths from drug overdoses than there has been in coronavirus. Drug addiction is a problem, and, you know, there are still some cities and some states that meeting halls are not open. And there are people who want to go to meetings, but they're so fixated on what the media has been talking about that they don't want to go to meetings because they're going to catch coronavirus and die, yada, yada, yada. So for me, working with individuals like that is very important. Is it Jedi-related? Very much so. Am I working on behalf of Arcanea or another Jedi group? I don't know. You're the Grandmaster of Arcanea. Am I working for Arcanea or am I doing my own thing? What do you have on
that? I say both. You know, Arcanea doesn't raise online Jedi. We're all about getting out in our communities and doing work. And so if you're truly out in your community, helping your community, you should have very little time online. If you're taking care of yourself and your community, you should have very little time online. So,
but think about, that's actually my point. How many people, you know, and I still read my books. I still listen to my audiobooks. God knows, you know I love my audiobooks. You know how much I love my audiobooks. You've listened to them at 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, why the fuck is that audiobook? Sorry. Why the freak
is
that audiobook still playing? Huh?
Real quick before we run out of time, I want to go back to something you were saying. A great example of the culture today is somebody says something online and somebody else goes, where's your proof? Okay, especially here in the United States, burden of proof lies with the accuser, not the accused. And we forget that on a daily basis. I don't care if somebody comes out and says Trump is purple. It is not up to them to prove he's purple. It is up to those that disagree with that person to prove he's not.
That's how, right.
I mean, that's how this cancel culture and all this garbage has come about. Because the burden of proof lies in the accuser, not the accused. And yet, on a regular basis, and it just goes to show how lazy we've become. You know, somebody says, I'm going to use this as a great example. The Civil War was not about slavery. Everybody goes, well, prove it. No, you go prove it was all about slavery. That's where the burden of proof lies. Not on the person that said it wasn't, but on those that disagree with that person. And I think if we all got back to thinking that way, we quit being lazy and we started doing our own research and open research, not closed-minded, not hunting for facts that support what I want it to support. Because I can go and I can find thousands of facts to prove to you that the Civil War in the United States was about slavery. If I want to take the other side, I can go find thousands of facts to prove that it wasn't about slavery. So in the middle somewhere is the fact that the Civil War wasn't all about slavery, but slavery was an issue during the war, would be the actual right mindfulness and right concentration. And that's where a Jedi should be centering themselves. Not hard right, not hard left, but somewhere in the middle. Because both sides are going to be right and both sides are going to be wrong. And a Jedi should be centering on the facts from both sides. So yeah. that's all I got.
What's really irritating me? Sorry, give me three more minutes. It's going to be a good one.
Go ahead.
What's really getting to me within our community is, again, I would always rather be out there being on my grind, doing my thing, going throughout my day, than sitting there on Facebook and just arguing with people about how my Jedi way is the best way. And the problem that we've got within our community is, and when I'm talking about the Jedi community, I'm not talking about Arcanea. I'm talking about the expanded community, all 500,000 Facebook groups that finally beat
right.
out the Yahoo groups. You know, everybody's so busy online bickering, fighting, and telling why they're the Jedi, and they're all that in a bag of chips, da-da-da-da. But these people aren't out there on their grind. They're not out there getting dirty. They're not out there, like, the other night, when I really think about it, it's actually freaking hilarious. I had, again, just over 50 people at my house. But, man, if I really think about it, the number of convicted felons I probably had at my house, the number of jail time I've had at my house. You know, it's for me, it's funny as hell. You know what, dude? These people are in recovery. You know, sweet. Good. I'd rather hang out with these people. I would rather hang out with people who just got sober and helping them fight off that demon than sitting there on Facebook saying, Jedi, respect the law. Jedi, work for the people. This is why. No, you're wrong. Dude, I ain't got time for all that shit. I do not have time to sit there on Facebook and, God forbid, Hannigan's the worst example of a Jedi I've ever seen. Come walk in my shoes. Come live my life. Come see what I do. Oh, my goodness, I got into your little feel-feels, for real, for real. Like, seriously, I got into your feel-feels and I'm the worst example of a Jedi when you're not working because you don't want to work. You're lying about your pedigree. You claim a lot but do little, and you have 8 hours a day to bicker with people on Facebook, and you want to talk about my life? Like, for real? Like, that's something that you want to have a conversation about? You know, Wichita is open. And God knows, trust me, I could host a gathering at my house. The difference between my house and your house, to give you a great example. In your house, what? With a couple conversions, maybe a 5-bedroom?
Yeah.
With 2 or 3 open meeting areas, give or take?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I have a 7-bedroom house with 3 living rooms.
Wow.
I could host a damn gathering at my house. And if I tented people, like I told you we should, if everybody parked elsewhere, I could probably tent the front and backyard probably about 70 tents, which is probably about what you can get in your yard if everybody parked somewhere else. You probably about that, 70 tents?
Yeah, about.
All right. And my house is open. If anybody wants to come and talk about my life and see what I do and da-da-da-da, I'll take you on my grind. You know, I'm not out here, you know, like, I'm talking about it now, but it's not for, you know, give me props, give me credit, give me this, give me that. It's like, this is what I'm doing. This is what's important to me. Like, you know, there are people who, you know, I'm going to use you as my example. For you, I am sure Veteran Affairs is a very important concept. Well, one, because you're a veteran, and two, because you're like 87 years old. So, you know, that's a big thing for you. You know, for me, as part of my Jedi path, you know, working with people in recovery is very important to me. And funny enough, if you go back to the old school fiction, for the first, I love saying it because it's fun, for the first 12 that Luke had, when they became knighted, Luke was like, all right, what are you going to do? What's your mission? Kip Duran's like, dude, I'm going after slavers and smugglers. Luke's like, Jedi Knight Kip, you go do your thing. Seagal was like, I'm going to heal. Luke's like, Jedi Knight Seagal, you do your thing. And that's the way it was. When a person got knighted, they had to announce their mission. Okay, and sorry for those who aren't paying attention, you know, with the Cool Hip Group. We're talking about the Jedi Knights of the New Republic under Skywalker in the Legend series. That's what I want to see more of our people do. It's not, you know, you're going to get knighted, so you're going to sit there on your ass and do nothing. You're going to get knighted, and this is what your mission is. And actually, unless I'm very wrong, BJ has a very similar mission to my own. Really thinking about it. You know, he's worked with the church and things of that as well, correct?
Correct.
You know, he's out there doing his thing. That's what I want to see more of us doing, especially now in these times where people really need it. But, you know, unfortunately, everybody wants to sit at home and do nothing. You know, again, I do understand there are people who, they have a Ford truck and it breaks down every 5,000 miles. I understand that's a problem. I understand there are people who live in rural areas and there's not necessarily much they can do. Or due to health concerns, again, I might not be a huge believer in all the media aspects of COVID, but if I had a major health concern that COVID could affect, I agree those people should be sitting at home. I'm going to use you as my example. Bro, you should be getting DoorDash for your groceries.
They don't deliver out here. They don't deliver out here.
See,
I hear everybody talk about get your stuff delivered. They don't deliver out here. Nobody delivers out here.
You know, if I need to friggin' load up my car at Walmart and drive it 8 hours to you, I'm not getting milk. I'll tell you that right now. You're not getting milk or ice cream. I will do that my damn self. Like, you know, there are people in that situation, and, you know, you are, in a sense, in that situation, you know, that Corona cough you got going on there. You know, like, that's a huge risk. And you're out there once every week, once every other week, you know, taking a Ford truck that breaks down every 5,000 miles to go to the grocery store. Sorry, I just love picking on your Ford. I cannot help it. I try, but I can't help it. 5,000 miles, a truck breaks down. Good truck. In all seriousness, you know, we do need to get our people out there doing things. And, you know, not on Facebook, oh, I work for the FBI, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. Okay, that's cute. Or the other problem that we get, whatever group you want to call it, Antifa, whatever, you know, there are people who've been out and about standing up for cities and for neighborhoods saying, you know what, you want to peacefully protest, that's fine, but I have this gun, and these people behind me are willing to fight for this neighborhood. We need more Jedi out there to do that and to mediate it as well. Now, if there's like one group only causing violence and destruction, and the second group is trying to say, hey, you know what, not in our neighborhood, take it somewhere else, I'm going to support that second group. Now, and as a Jedi, I'm there with that second group. Now we're going to go a step further. Group A is going to go and start this violence. Group B is like, you know what, it's not about protecting the neighborhood. I'm just tired of this shit. Somebody go and attack these people. That's when the Jedier needed to say, no, 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 no. This is where mediation comes in. You know, there are so many opportunities out there for Jedi realists in, like, you know, cities like New York, Chicago, which from what I understand, Chicago is actually getting quelled down as well. Kansas City is getting quelled down. Portland is still kind of crazy, but there are groups in Portland now who are standing up and saying, you know what, not in this neighborhood. And from what I understand, going to politics real quick, in Missouri, that wonderful couple, they seem to be in the media every other day. I cannot think what the hell their names are. The gun people.
The McCloskeys.
McCloskeys, yes. Apparently now some something general, attorney general, something that sounds important, was in the media saying he wants to have that lawyer trying to press these charges investigated.
Yes. Yes, he
I'm
is.
I'm looking forward to seeing.
Both the state's attorney general and the governor are against this case. But we are out of time.
We are out of time. I am sorry for monopolizing your episode.
It's all right. Yes, that is true. The state's attorney and the governor are siding with the McCloskeys. And there's actually evidence, and this is so sad, that the pistol the woman had wasn't even operable. They had to repair it in order to shoot it.
Yes, I read about that. All right, last thing, promise. I know I sound like somebody else that we know, but after everybody, thanks for paying attention to Jedi Roaster Radio. We appreciate your support. We appreciate you listening, dedicating your time to us. You know, like Alan said earlier, please, you know, I don't necessarily care if you subscribe. It really doesn't matter. It's good if you want to keep up on the episodes, but share the links. Pay attention. Like us on Facebook. If you like us on Facebook, you're at least made aware of when we're doing episodes. And, you know, if you're in the Jedi Realist community, be, you know, to quote Opie, which I hate doing, be a Jedi. You know, don't just sit there and talk about it on Facebook. Find your mission. Do something. Get on your grind. And show in your life that you're a Jedi, not just in your Facebook posts. With that, thanks. Love and light. This is Danigan. I'm out. Alan, have a great one. Finish out your episode.
You too, brother. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been another Arcanea Sunday Sermon Discussion brought to you by Jedi Realist Radio, Arcanea Jedi Order, and Blog Talk Radio. I have been your host and officiant, Master Alan Wilson, Jedi Priest and Grandmaster of Arcanea Jedi Order. Until next Sunday, may the Force be with you.